tuning in, Boston jumped out early, went up by as many as 17. And then the Heat, with an unbelievable third quarter, outscored the Celtics by 20 in the third quarter.
This isn't about zones and defenses and offenses and stuff like that. This is, we just got to be better.
Dale Arnold.
When I started to hear yelling and screaming, and it sounded like a chair or something heavy was being thrown at the wall.
What happens in the locker room, you got to stay in the locker room. It was nothing.
Rich Keefe.
I lean Bengals getting 6 points.
Bengals plus six is the play.
Over 41 and a half rush yards for Kareem Hunt.
Dale and Keith with Fitzy.
Thanks, Celtics.
Feel out the Heat
on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know, I've heard a lot of stuff since the end of last night's game. I watched a video on Twitter last night that even included some salty language, I might add. I've heard a lot of stuff, but I'm a little surprised that more attention hasn't been paid to the heinous act perpetrated by the National Basketball Association when in the middle of an Eastern Conference Finals playoff series, they suddenly decide, out of nowhere, they're going to allow a coach and a team to implement a dastardly zone defense that has never been used before in the history of the league, thereby screwing your Boston Celtics.
Listen, zone defense, it is the kryptonite to the Celtics Superman, apparently. They don't know
what they've never seen it before.
A zone defense just completely throws the Celtics all out of sorts. All out of sorts. And this is a team that is proving that close games late, they get nervous. They are not comfortable. And we're learning that the Miami Heat are the opposite. The Miami Heat have guys that are willing to take big shots and make big plays, and they don't freak out and get nervous and cough it up. The Celtics closing these games or not closing these games has been the biggest story going.
They had not, as far as I remember, Spoelstra had not even deigned to use the zone for at play the entire playoffs, and then they match up with the Celtics and then decides, oh, wait a second, these guys can't play the zone.
No.
Usually, Rich,
yeah,
when you say that you're in the zone, that means things
are not
heating up.
Here, no.
And now, in this particular case, the Celtics are useless. They are helpless.
Spoelstra?
They see it and they pee down their leg.
This isn't about zones and defenses and offenses and stuff like that. This is, we just got to be better.
It's not about offense or defense, but we need to be better. What do you need to be better at? Oh, offense and defense.
Special teams.
Yeah, special teams. Right.
What would have been the difference for them?
College coach should be able to diagnose a zone offense.
True story. Coach Sharkey.
Some salty language last night.
Grades 4 through 9. He could coach up a zone. Well, we could play the zone. We could play against the zone. You got an odd man front. You go even. You got an even man front. You go odd. Very simple. Get a guy in the middle. Hit a little 15-footer.
Yeah.
Then they actually, by the time they started to do that, they would pass it up. They're so in love with the three-point shot. They have an open shot from inside the free throw line. They're like, well, this is too good to be true.
Yeah.
So they kick it out.
Let's kick it to the corner.
Horrible. And then even some of the shots that they were making in the fourth quarter weren't exactly like well-run sets against the zone. It was kind of heaves, just sort of like desperation heaves. Some of them went in to make the game a little bit closer than it was. But that was embarrassing. And Spoelstra is coaching the pants off of Brad
Circles,
Stevens.
Laps.
Everything.
And by the way, I thought it was delightful that when the Heat started to go on their run in the third quarter and the Celtics stayed true to form, giving everyone what they want
nice
at home,
third quarter,
which is the Celtics' third quarter meltdown, treating the Heat to a repeated VIP seating at the And One Cafe.
Oh,
wonderful.
Get in there for that.
Wonderful.
Get in there for that.
Just bad foul after hack after lazy defense.
Did you like when Bam Adebayo almost outscored the Celtics himself in the third quarter? Did everybody enjoy that?
Oh, we loved that. Yep.
Just dunks. Great. Just dunks. Yeah. Just dunk. Pick and roll dunk. Pick and roll dunk.
There.
Pick and roll dunk. Like, what are we doing?
Now, do things like that usually work against like a high school level zone or something? Maybe, you know, a slasher to the hoop or why was everything a panicked 17 seconds of dribbling and passing around the perimeter and then, oh, crap, we have 6 seconds left. Someone make a play.
So when Brad says that it's not about the zone, first of all, I think he's wrong because maybe he knows that he didn't give them anything to do against the zone. He's just praying that they make the shots. Like, that's all he's doing. Like, so is that what coaching is now? Is just get the guys out there, I don't know, pass it around, and then somebody has to shoot it before the shot clock goes out, and if that goes in, then that's a good offense? That's not good offense.
No, it's not. And maybe the Celtics could take a few emotional cues from the Heat because everything that they're doing is working. Like, hey, Celtics, maybe when you take a perimeter or, let's say, 28-foot three-point shot, pull a Jay Crowder.
Yeah.
Throw yourself to the ground. Pretend that there was contact made.
I saw the Fitzy tweet about that. We can retire the award now.
Don't anyone bother trying to flop, because the single greatest flopper outside of like Marcus the Smart. Bundesliga or La Liga or Marcus Smart is now Jay Crowder.
Yeah.
As I said,
Crowder has that
in iron chic voice. The Jay Crowder can go F himself. I hate this guy.
Yeah, he's a villain. He's the villain, because they have a lot of likable guys actually on their team.
Oh my God. Are you kidding?
Is the hard ass.
They are loaded with likable. Duncan Robinson, love him. Drogic, the guy can shoot anywhere.
Yep.
Ed Harrow, like, it's a 12-year-old who, like, Harrow literally looks like he just pulled his skateboard in and was like, hey, guys, can I shoot some threes?
He's good.
He's great.
He's a nice player.
Spoelstra is just nothing more than Diet Riley.
Coming off of a series where it was Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not like Eric Spoelstra after Nick Nurse? But, and I know a lot of people are trying to defend the Celtics, and because I saw this on Twitter, because I posted the best post-game show in the business, by the way. It's a one-minute post-game on Twitter.
Recap?
Yeah, Bleed Green. Hashtag Bleed Green recap.
The lighting is terrific. You're totally...
Sober's a bird.
Somebody last night tweeted out... Somebody tweeted last night, well, at least Rich has his hat on properly.
Yeah, they don't like the backwards hat. Yeah. Too bad. I got it back on today. So, the Heat are good, and so one of the responses was like, come on. Like,
yeah, they're 10-1, for God's sake.
You're not giving the Heat any credit. It's like, all right, well, the Celtics did have a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter of game one and late second quarter a 17-point lead.
Mm-hmm.
At which point, by the way, cynical Susan looked up from her iPad, looked at the TV, looked at the score, and said, they're going to blow it.
Yep, she was right. She should have bet big on the second half.
How about this, Dale? According to one of the many great statisticians or statimagicians that we all like to follow, Chris Scheim follows him too, the Tucker Boynton kid. In game one, they had a 96% win percentage going into the fourth with their lead. Last night, it was 94.1. Like, you're supposed to win games with double-digit leads and 90-plus win percentages.
So that's my point. The Heat are a good team, but you should still be very frustrated with the Celtics for coughing up huge leads. They got outscored by 20 points in the third quarter. The third quarter was an issue against Toronto, even Philly, which was not a series that they had a big problem with, but for some reason, they come out of the locker room at halftime and just lay an egg constantly.
Oof.
So they should have won both of these games. That's not a crazy thing to say. When you have a big lead like that, you should be able to win both these games, and they didn't. And so Brad says, oh, you just got to be better. A little vague. Maybe you also need to be better and figure out a way to defeat a 3-2 zone. You go to any 5th and 6th grade basketball.
With your two guards underneath the basket.
Yeah, I don't get it. And I know it's a zone defense, and part of the reason why Spoelstra does it is he has a few guys out there that if they play man-to-man, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, they should get abused. But still, even when they're in a zone, they have to play some semblance of defense. You have to take advantage. If they're going to put guys out there that are just snipers, like Duncan Robinson is an elite shooter. That's it. He doesn't do anything else elite.
He was 6-for-12 from three last night. Has anyone in the Celtics even shot close to 50% period this series?
No, I don't believe so.
So we'll go back and look at it, figure out if it was a technical thing or a pace thing or an execution thing or not as focused on the important stuff thing.
What the hell?
How boring.
What the hell is that?
How boring. You know what? Belichick, Rich, Dale, he's allowed to get away with, you know, we got to do a better job. We got to coach better.
Yeah, he can do it any way he wants.
Because he's got six championships.
Yeah, correct.
With that track record, we know that's what he's going to do. That's the game face and the media presence that he brings. That's
so
Belichick. And he does have the six championships and all that winning. Brad Stevens hasn't done anything aside from look like an outmatched professional dart player or manager at Tchotchkes.
Much like we said, Kemba Walker has lost back-to-back point guard matchups. I think Brad Stevens has lost back-to-back coaching matchups.
Yeah.
You know, again, Nick Nurse, I wouldn't want him. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't want him. He's a clown show over there. But
now I would.
I don't think he screwed up as bad as Brad Stevens did in that series. And I don't think I think he has his team who has less talent than the Celtics playing even better.
Ooh.
And if you're keeping score at home in the history of the NBA, in the conference finals, teams that take a 2-0 lead in the series are 52-6.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Here's Goose and Pork. Mm.
Dale, let me ask. Yeah, this is Goose and Pork. We'll be back with Goose and Pork featuring Fitzy in a minute. Dale, let me ask you this. Rich just brought this up. It is kind of a fun little hypothetical. What do you think this series would be at right now, boys, if Nick Nurse was coaching and not Brad Stevens, this exact Celtics roster? It would be at least tied, right?
Know,
or would they be up 2-0?
I mean, they should have won both games.
Yes, they should have
won both games. You know, when you lose close games, obviously the players aren't without blame. Like, you got to look at the players. But close games, if we're going to give Brad credit, and a lot of people like to give Brad credit for all the things that he's been able to do in the 7 years that he's been here with less talent and everything else, he also needs to shoulder a lot of the blame when they lose back-to-back close games when you've had huge leads.
We've got a lot of things we're going to get to throughout the course of the day. We will be getting back to this series in just a few minutes based on, you know, what we all watched last night. And we will ask the theoretical question, if the Celtics had shown 1/10 of the fight during the game that they apparently were showing after the game, would they have been able to pull this win off? But it is a Patriots Friday, so in a couple of minutes we'll talk to New England Patriots defensive back Jason McCourty. We've got our Kiefer Madness Week in Review at 12:30. Michael Irvin joins us at 1. Fitzy lights a match to his money at 1:30 on Free Money Friday.
Is that the new name of the segment? Yeah.
Fitzy lights a match to his money is what we're going to call it from now on. That's all still to come. We'll get to your calls about the Celtics in a few minutes as well. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
It's hard to be so porked.
Fitzy joins Dale and Keefe every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WEEI.
Kemba, did you and Brad talk about playing fewer minutes? You played about 34 minutes in this one, didn't get into the fourth quarter until about 8 minutes to go.
No, we didn't. So, just happened that way.
Just happened that way, fellas. One of your three best players had his minutes cut back last night. The coach didn't discuss it with him. It just happened that way.
Well, to be fair, I mean, because I
haven't been great anyway.
No, Kemba was good in the game.
Better last night.
He was better last night, and I think Brad Stevens deserves to get ripped today. But if he's like, oh, how come Kemba didn't play as much in the fourth quarter? He played every second in the third quarter, a quarter in which they lost by 20 points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again, he's not the only reason for that, but still, he played all 12 minutes of that, and it was as bad a basketball as this team has played in a long time.
He doesn't play any defense, does he?
He is a liability defensively.
Yeah.
He cannot play. He'll try to take a charge. He'll do that to his credit. Like, he's undersized, but he can't. A lot of the same issues we had with Isaiah Thomas being like, great offensive player, but, you know, what are you going to get defensively? Kind of similar with Kemba Walker. I know he's a little bit taller than Isaiah, but a lot of similarities, isn't there?
And he's a super nice guy. That's great. I don't believe him to be, though, the emotional center of the team the way IT was, nor do I think he's capable of putting up a 55 spot. Like, those Celtics
he
a couple years ago.
He did against the Celtics last year.
Or Kemba
was pretty close. Yeah, when he was with Charlotte. Or I don't know if it was 55.
Does that really count?
No, maybe not.
No, it doesn't really count. Like, when you do anything in Charlotte, does
Charlotte,
it really count?
No, did anybody see it? No.
Didn't really happen. But Isaiah Thomas lit it up, and he willed the team. I don't see. Here's the thing: I see a lot of people willing the Heat as well as shooting the Heat past the Celtics, making great come from behind wins when the Celtics should be walking away with the W. I don't see anybody willing Rich the Celtics to a victory or carrying them past their own third quarter problems, getting them over the hump when they need to.
And why right now would you have confidence? Let's say Game 3, it's close in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Don't you think? Jimmy Butler, who only had 14 points last game, but still, he's that alpha, and he didn't need it last night because Duncan Robinson and Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo were carrying the offense. So Jimmy Butler didn't need to, but you know that he can, you know that he will. If if Duncan Robinson gets into foul trouble or he's not shooting well, or Dragic, who's actually really consistent, is struggling, I guarantee you Jimmy Butler takes the big shots and probably makes them. Meanwhile, the Celtics, I don't know what they're going to do.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline right now is Patriots cornerback Jason McCourty. Our conversation with Jason is brought to you by Town Fair Tire, McFarland Energy. Check out McFarland's new customer oil delivery special at McFarlandEnergy.com. And by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Doing great. Thank you. It is it's a different world in the National Football League and, well, in the world in general. And this weekend's travel schedule is indicative of that. You guys are headed for Seattle this afternoon. And as I understand it, once you get to the hotel, you basically are on lockdown in your rooms at that point, right?
Yeah, for the most part, we'll be in the hotel and we can be amongst our travel party. So it's not just in your room, like in our kind of common areas with the rest of the guys and administrators, our operations, like those people who are around on a daily basis, will all be fine, obviously, to be around.
A lot of good quarterbacks in the league, Jason, but I don't know how many are better than Russell Wilson. Coach Belichick was talking about him yesterday, said kind of a similar thing, like, you know, maybe he is the best in the league. What makes him so challenging?
Man, he can do it all. You know, he's a guy that can stand in the pocket and make every single throw you need him to make. And he's also a guy who gets outside the pocket and puts the ball as accurate as anybody on the run. And then he can just take the ball and run with it and pick up 30, 40 yards. So he's a special type player. He's a tough challenge. Each and every time you go against him, you know it's going to be a long day.
Jason, last year the Seahawks were one of the better rushing teams in the NFL, yet last week in their debut, a 38-25 win over the Atlanta Falcons, the Seahawks throw for four touchdowns and put forth a pretty surprising passing attack. How are you guys preparing for the possibility that you could be dealing with Metcalf and Lockett and Olsen, yet at the same time you could see them switch right over to that aggressive running attack featuring Chris Carson?
Yeah, I know it'll sound cliche, but that's kind of our motto here. But it's do your job, you know. Given plays, there's going to be guys that are responsible for the run. As a cornerback, for the most part, always going to be responsible for the pass. So I think for all of us as a team, we just have to do our job. We have to make sure we're reading our keys and we're doing the things necessary and whatever the defensive call is. They're a team that's balanced. They can run the ball and win the games. They can pass the ball and win games. They showed that last week.
There's no escaping the fact that you're missing some key players from the team that played defensively for you a year ago, some from free agency, some from opt-outs. Is there a bit of a chip on the shoulder of the Patriots' defense, sort of like, well, we'll show you what we can do?
I think there's always a chip of guys wanting to go out there and play well and go out there and win games. I don't really think there's any correlation to that. And who we lost last year, I think every team, in some form or fashion, you're dealing with the loss of players. It's just what our league is each year, whether it be through free agency, whatever the case may be. Obviously, this year has been a little bit different because of the opt-outs. But I just think we want to go out there and we want to prove ourselves. And like you said, the fact that there are guys that are gone, that means that there are new guys. So those guys, I don't think they have a chip, per se, because of the other guys that aren't here. But they want to go out there and prove what they can do and show what their worth is.
Just over a year, entering his second season as DK Metcalf, what have you seen out of him? Because he strikes me as a guy kind of built like a tight end with the speed of a wide receiver, almost unfair in the way that, you know, the size and speed that he brings to the table.
Yeah, I mean, he's a monster. He's a guy who was very productive as a rookie, and then starting last week, looks like he's picking up where he left off last year. So he's the type of receiver where you always have to know where he's at. And that's just the receiving core in general. You know, Lockett obviously doesn't have the same size as Metcalf, but he's running just as fast. And he's a guy who has a great connection with Russell Wilson. So both of those guys, they do damage. They make plays all over the field, whether it's short, whether it's deep. On scramble plays, they're able to get open and get to the sweet spot. Exactly where Russell Wilson wants them. So they're going to be a tough challenge come Sunday night.
Well, they may be going up against a pretty tough challenge themselves in your secondary. Jason, tell me a little bit about the closeness, the fraternity of your secondary. It sounds like you guys are really evolving, and you and your brother especially are loving the veteran mentorship roles. Your brother said that Kyle Duggar is an athletic freak and is already creating some of those. Did you see those moments in practice? Last week, Joan Williams grew up and had himself a big game. Adrian Phillips, someone described him as a linebacker masquerading as a safety, or like a linebacker a safety with the spirit of a linebacker. He got a pick last week. You guys feeding off each other and really kind of building some chemistry back there to be a top unit in the league?
Yeah, definitely. I think for us in the back end, there's just a ton of respect for each and every guy for what they're good at and what they excel at. And I think definitely we do a really good job of just figuring out, like, hey, now that a lot of us here have been playing together for a while, Steph, JC, John Jones, Dev, myself, adding guys like AP, Duggar, T. Brooks is here for a second year, just taking the time to get to know each other and figure out what guys like to do. So on our defenses, the more we all understand, we can play multiple roles, and I think that kind of helped us excel. And the conversations that we have before practice, during practice, of getting ready each and every week is extraordinary. And like you said, it's been a ton of fun for me, you know, coming just to New England in my 10th year and now being this third season of just being able to learn the defense here, get to know the guys, and just try to get us as good as a team and as a secondary as we possibly can. So we're just working every day to improve.
Jason, congratulations on the win to start the season last week. Best of luck this weekend in Seattle. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.
Good luck, Jason.
Patriots cornerback Jason McCourty. This week's Verizon matchup features the entire Patriots defense against Russell Wilson. Verizon, best network, best unlimited. To your point about the defensive backfield, Patriots used 7 defensive backs last week, more than all the other teams in the NFL combined. They love the 7 defensive backfield look.
I think, guys, we need to. We've already long since put the boogeymen to rest.
Boogeymen
and if
dead.
You still have that, the boogeymen are definitely dead.
We didn't get to go on a revenge tour.
No, that's it. What do we got now?
No, that's it. No, we need a name for this secondary. Like, I know in 2015.
They just played one game. We don't need a name for this secondary just yet.
I'm telling you.
Wiggy wants to give Cam Newton a lifetime contract, and Fitzy wants to give the defense a nickname.
Let's win a couple games here.
Dale, you watch.
Let's beat a team that's not Ryan Fitzpatrick before we give him a nickname.
But last week's, that should have been a 20-something point win. I know it was.
It's still the Dolphins.
I know, but last time the Dolphins came to town, they lost.
If they shut down Russell Wilson.
Yes.
We can start Monday at 10 a.m. with a nickname for the defense.
Okay. The Legion of Broom, because they swept them.
I got a name
John,
for you.
John stinks.
Hey, Shime, you got a name?
A new edition of I Got a Name For You.
Okay.
You got a name for us?
No, I'm going to save it for Monday, but I got a name for you.
Only if
they beat Russell Wilson.
Or, you know what? If they get smoked by Russell Wilson, we can come up with a different name for him.
Absolutely not.
I'll have one for both scenarios.
Okay.
Tell you what, I will put on a hat. And I will get in front of a wall of Funkos and comic books, and I will do my...
I feel like this is a shot.
It's a shot of both of us,
direct
really.
Shot at me for...
Totally.
My setup.
Well, you're just telling me we can't come up with a nickname. I mean, they may deserve a nickname. Look at this.
They're 1-0. They beat the Dolphins.
This unit has a chance to be elite. Legendary.
You better worry about the units you're betting more than the defensive unit here.
We'll get to that later on as well.
These are all. I'm just making the kids recycle. Yeah. By the way, thanks. I am teaching my children value in the process.
Welcome. He's screwed us. Save that can. Save that can.
Hey. This morning, literally, I was like, "Do you really need all of that for breakfast?"
He's literally saying to his children, "You know, some of the most successful people in the world never went to college."
That's right.
I'm just saying.
And then my kid says back like, "Well, Dad, actually, it took Amazon 20 years to get out of the red," and I'm like, how do you know that?
When we come back, we're going to turn attention back to the Celtics, because apparently post game last night got a little heated. I wish they'd maybe brought some of that onto the court, but we'll get to that in a moment as well. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Fitzy on WEEI.
Guys, we're emotional after a hard game. Hard loss.
Kemba, with things getting kind of emotional after the game, what do you kind of have to do as a leader to make sure things don't go the wrong way, and you kind of keep everyone together and bring everyone together?
It won't. Ain't nothing happening in the locker room. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know who said that. We 0-2. I mean, that's team sports. You're not supposed to be happy if we down 0-2.
What happened after the game? Was that necessary? Did y'all need to get that out?
What happened after the game?
I mean, just the argument inside the locker room.
I mean, what happened after the game? What happens in the locker room, we got to stay in the locker room.
Boy, there seems to be some denying going on, isn't there?
Yeah, so what happened, huh?
Well, I mean, apparently there were a whole bunch of members of the media who heard stuff that didn't really happen.
Yeah, the first thing I saw was Gary Washburn of the Globe talking about how he is hearing Marcus Smart specifically swearing, cussing, saying it's BS. There were some objects being thrown around in there. And he also said, Gary's been covering the team and the league for a very long time, and he said he can't remember hearing anything like that ever.
You know what?
Ever.
It was actually all just audio they were supposed to pump into the bubble to synthesize crowd noise.
Is that what it was?
It was just a total audio miscue. Yeah,
right.
I have a lot of confidence
in them right now.
So Shams Charania, writing on The Athletic, has, according to his sources, he said sources, not source, what happened.
Here we go.
Apparently, and I'm quoting now from Shams, Smart stormed into the Celtics post-game locker room saying that other players needed to be held accountable and not simply point the finger toward him when things are going wrong. As Smart continued and his voice grew louder, sources said Jaylen Brown, snapped back and shouted that Celtics players must stay together and that their actions must come as a team, not individually, and that Smart needed to cool off. Those sources added Smart had verbal exchanges with a couple of the assistant coaches during the game.
Great.
Smart and Brown had a tense interaction inside the locker room with objects thrown around. Teammates diffused the situation before any physical altercation could take place, sources told The Athletic. But then here's the key paragraph. Smart and Brown have smoothed tensions over since the verbal spat, and one source said the Celtics would learn from it and move on from the episode Friday ahead of a pivotal Game 3 on Saturday.
Like, I have no problem with players being emotional. I have no problem with players being upset and fired up and everything like that. But you just wonder, all right, well, what was the reason behind this? Like, is Smart thinking that other players are blaming him for the loss? And then if that's the case, that's idiotic. Not that Smart had a good game, but, you know, neither did Jason Tatum, neither did... Jalen Brown was good, but then he would disappear at times.
Jason Tatum, he took a shot in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you gotta
your
do
leader, your best player can't just take a shot.
Oh, there was plenty of issues in the game. I also find it funny that Smart was mad at assistant coaches because I wonder...
Or assistant coaches were mad at him, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, I'd be mad at the assistant coaches. If one of them is supposed to diagnose the zone offense, maybe you should get upset with those guys. Like, is there a zone offense, a specialist on the staff? You got all these guys sitting there. What do they do? Does anybody know how to defeat a 3-2 zone? Maybe speak up. Maybe...
This isn't about zones and defenses and offenses and stuff like that. This is, we just got to be better.
Good point, Brad. It's not about offense or defense.
No. I told you, special teams. Right?
This guy, is anyone pissing away a reputation or goodwill faster than it seems Brad Stevens is?
No.
With these two meltdowns, because it's from the end of the series where we noticed that Nick Nurse definitely outcoached him into this series, the luster and shine are coming off of him real quick. And Marcus Smart, I don't care if he had his worst game as a pro last night. Or if he did something that directly led to their loss. Given all this guy has done for this team all season, and especially in the bubble, you can't give this guy any business. You can't come at this guy
right
now.
He was one of their few players who was good in game one.
He's the one who actually shows me also that he cares, Rich.
Right, and that's what I wonder too. That's why when I first heard the news that he was screaming at everybody, I was wondering if the other guys didn't take the loss hard and he couldn't believe it or what. But based on that report by Shams, it sounds like other players were kind of pointing the finger at Smart for some reason.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
Maybe there's some of that too.
All right, now let me ask this question. It'll sound ridiculous, but given the circumstances that we're all playing under right now, is it possible that, you know, being in the bubble for almost 80 days now has got everybody's tensions a little bit on edge, and that if this were a normal playoff series, what happened post-game last night might not have happened?
You really, really think they honor in a bubble for 3 months?
I mean, maybe. I feel like the Miami Heat, and maybe when we said this before it all started, you know, whoever wins this is going to have to be really mentally strong. And maybe you're just finding out that they're not as mentally strong. The Miami Heat have done this thing where, what did Rachel Nichols say? Embrace the bubble is like the motto that they have. And they're just all, I don't even know if their families are there. Like, they're just, we're on a business trip.
Right.
And that's all they're focused
they're
on.
They're crushing the bubble right now. They're 10-1.
The Denver Nuggets are fighting back from 3-1 deficits inside the bubble. They're not ready to give up, right? Like, the Lakers are playing really well. So I'm not going to give them the excuse of, oh, it's in the bubble, because all these other teams are too. And they're doing a lot better than you are.
I don't want to be that guy, Dale, but like I said on the crossover, 0-2 since Deuce Tatum showed up.
Oh, you think it's a Deuce curse?
Mm-hmm.
The Deuce curse.
It's hard for me to blame a little kid. You know,
well,
I'm just
listen,
saying.
Not you're a much better person than I am.
Fitzy's not about
I have two of them at home that keep me up at night and have ruined my life. So
get off the pot or you drop the deuce.
But another thing is, too, when you have your players fighting each other in the locker room or having somebody stand in the way of a potential fight, do you think that the coach has a real good grasp on things? Right. If
Marcus Smart is having spats with the assistant coaches on the bench, now we never saw them on TV, but Shams wrote that. If that's the case, does Brad Stevens have control over the way things are going there?
Guys, we just can't.
You
know,
he's a coach, so I'm a player.
Yeah, we just can't. But come on, we're better than this. Hey, everyone, simmer down. Hey, let's all take a deep breath.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know if what did you call him earlier, Fitzy?
The professional dart player. The assistant manager at Staples.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to get it done. I think your manager, Brad. Was it say there in your name tag, Brad? Is your manager in?
Sorry, he's not available right now. You can take it up with me. If you'd like to file a complaint,
I'm authorized to handle this dispute. Maybe a 15% off your next visit.
I can't give you your money back, but I can give you a store credit.
Staples, that was easy. Oh my God!
So I know on the Celtics post game Twitter feed that I watched last night with our buddy Rich Keefe working blue.
Mm-hmm.
He said they're both goosed and porked. Done. Mm-hmm. Dunsky, to quote our buddy Christian Foyer. Are they goosed and porked? Is this series over at 0-2?
No.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Oh, there he is.
Let me ask you a question, Optimus Prime over here.
Optimus Prime. Please, by all means, let that be my nickname going forward.
Optimus Prime.
I like that so much more than the honk.
No, you're Optimus Prime. The Miami
Negatron.
And now we have a real rivalry. Now that we've seen this Miami Heat team up close, they have, in a series against the Pacers, Bucks, and Celtics, have lost a total of one game. So in the next...
By 3 points.
So in the next five games...
To the just-crowned two-time NBA MVP.
Yes.
Right. So they had a sweep, then a five-game series, which they lost in overtime. The one loss they had was in overtime. Mm-hmm. And now they've beaten the Celtics back-to-back games. You think they could lose four of the next five?
No. But I don't think it's...
What happened to Optimus Prime?
Well, no, hold on. I just don't... I think it's either this.
The math doesn't add up.
Lose tomorrow night, and it's on to the sweep hereafter. If you win tomorrow night,
Kevin Millar.
Yeah, hold tight. Yeah, don't let us win one. Don't let us get back in the series.
See, here's the thing. The Celtics need to win tomorrow, and then they have Pedro, Schilling, and Lowe.
Mm-hmm.
And then who's to say?
First of all, then you get Gordon Hayward back. No. I'm not even going to lean on that.
That's all you have.
Here's what's in their benefit. This weird 4-day off thing. Like the fact that like it goes Saturday, and then they don't have game four Monday. Game four is all the way Wednesday. So there'll be enough time. win one, and then all of a sudden now it's like, guys, we just got like...
Guess what? The Heat also had all this long layoff from their second series to this one, and it didn't matter. Here we go. All right, so there's the blueprint from our guy.
Someone's
going to
get tempted. Optimus Prime. That's right.
Autobots transform. Roll out.
I'm telling you. Win one tomorrow night.
He sees an 0-2 deficit as a 2-0 lead. He's Optimus Prime.
Negatron, why do you always dislike the Celtics?
Brad Stevens can't coach a zone offense.
It'll give them just enough time to figure out a way to make it a series. Just at least it'll be a series. All I can offer you is it'll be a series. It's not over. Lose tomorrow night, and it is over. Over.
So, Dale, they can't win the series. Can they win a game? Of course they can.
No, I think they can win 2-3. It might even go 6 or 7. Really.
I'm not calling it a sweep, but this is dead bird tall grass.
We'll have more from the great
NBA philosopher of our time a little bit later on in the program.
Oh, he is a gift that keeps on giving.
No, I mean, so there's two different questions. Like, exactly.
Well, stranger things have happened.
Really? Name one.
Oh, what's that? Oh, we're up against it. Jeez.
Oh, man.
Guess it's time for a break.
617-779-7937. Mike's in Quincy. Hey, Mike.
28-3.
Hey, guys. How are
you? Well, it could be better. We're being honest.
I think we all could be better.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about the whole Marcus Smart thing when you were saying about the assistant coaches. And if you remember, Rich, particularly when they went into that zone, they had Marcus Smart flash into the foul line, which, you know, is obviously something you do when you go against the zone. He gave up at least 3, probably 4 shots minimum when they actually finally got on the ball in there for whatever reason. And all I'm thinking is that it had to have been the assistant coach that brought it to his attention that you got to shoot that shot.
Yeah, you might be right, because that was driving me nuts. They would finally get the ball inside to the zone because Miami's defending all the three-point shooters, and Smart passed up like 12 footers with nobody around him.
Exactly.
And I know Bam Adebayo can close quickly, and he can block shots, but still, I'm with you. You got to shoot that. You got to shoot that shot.
Marcus Smart. So again, I think this falls back on Brad Stevens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to put someone there that's going to take that shot, whether it's Jalen Brown or Marcus Smart, whoever it is. Someone's got to go there.
Yeah,
that's something you have to take.
Yeah, and Mike, why are they waiting until the fourth quarter? Thanks for the call, buddy. Why are they waiting until the fourth quarter? Jalen barely—they had one last chance to tie the game up at 104, and he just off by like an inch on his corner three. He hit a bunch of threes in the fourth quarter. Why did they wait all of a sudden? Like, oh, Jalen seems to have his deep stroke tonight. Let's wait until there's 3 minutes left to start having him shoot threes. Great
But
idea.
You know what's crazy, and Fitzy brought this up. Fourth quarter, and I know we complained, and it's going to sound like we're contradicting ourselves a little bit, but we complained about Tatum and Kemba just pounding the ball, and not really coming up with anything. We're like, you got to move it around. Mm-hmm. But then the next game, Jason Tatum plays all 12 minutes in the fourth quarter and takes one shot. Now, he hit a couple free throws, but he took one shot. That can't be how you do things. And again, you look at Miami, Jimmy Butler, he likes to, and they even talked about this on the broadcast, he likes to make sure everybody else gets involved before he gets going because he knows he can turn it on. So he wants Dragic to get going and Duncan Robinson and Crowder to score. And then if need be, Butler is there to clean up. Tatum needs to learn that a little bit as well. I'm not saying he needs to defer as much as Butler does early in games, but in the fourth quarter, you got to be able to take over. And I'm not saying he has to shoot it every time. There's probably a happy medium in there where he and Walker distribute the ball, but also you got to be more aggressive. He had Jaylen Brown took 7 shots. Kemba Walker took 5. Marcus Smart took 4. Jason Tatum took 1, and he played the whole entire quarter.
Yes, and I don't want to point necessarily to, we're not going to make the refs the scapegoat. We're not going to say that bad officiating killed the Celtics last night, but there were a couple times earlier. Like, what was that one where, like,
let's not even bring it up.
I mean, what Tice gets clobbered over. Well, like, there was the shot clock violation. Like, no, but here's the thing. Yeah. This Celtics team right now is proving so mentally fragile
that
little things like that happen. And then, in my best Stephen A., a killer, Rich Keefe.
Yeah.
Like Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler
comes
a killer.
In there, and he smells blood,
you know who's also
and he
a killer?
Goes in for the kill. He's a closer.
You know who's a real underrated killer?
Brad Stevens and his inability to break the zone.
He's a bad man.
Goran Dragic.
Oh yeah.
Goran Dragic is a badass.
Off balance, nothing but net.
No, he is. I thought that going into the series, obviously Kemba was coming off some bad games, but Kemba would be able to keep that close or outplay him. And Kemba had a good game last night, but Dragic, the big shots, he had 9 points in the fourth quarter alone. He is a guy that you can't leave open from anywhere. He's super crafty around the basket.
Uh-huh.
He is a guy you want on your team.
They have a bunch of guys that you can't leave wide open, like Tyler Harrell, like Duncan Robinson,
right.
like Dragic.
Even Crowder. Crowder bugs me too.
I'm done.
If he's open,
I want to watch somebody crash a car into the bubble and drive right into him. That you shoot better field goals. You're better technically from three. You're just as good at free throws. You don't lose this game, rebounded them.
Okay, you want a stat that you haven't mentioned?
Sure.
Turnovers.
That's right.
You can't turn the ball over.
Eleven
more. I think it was 20-9 was the turnovers. Right. 20 turnovers. I think 7 in the third quarter. Just turn it over left and right.
Bob's in Littleton. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, good, guys. How are you?
Not great, Bob.
I know. Tough game. Tough one for sure. And I just wanted to call and talk a little bit about the defense. Just kind of disappointing, you know.
Yes.
For both games, I think. Game 1 and game 2. You know, they build the lead and then they kind of just, and you know, I thought maybe they turned to like a Robert Williams or someone to kind of get some defensive stops, or, you know, obviously Marcus Smart was great last series, but
Smart.
When are they going to get some defensive, stands? Like, I just don't really see that happening. These guys, Miami's just tougher than them.
You know what I think we've also kind of noticed in the series is they have some guys that are pretty good on-ball defenders. Like, if Jaylen Brown's guarding his guy, I think it's pretty good. Marcus Smart, obviously, is all NBA defense. But when it gets into helping each other out, where was that? Like, Bam Adebayo in the third quarter alone just was getting dunks. It was just dunk after dunk after dunk.
I think he had like 2 or 3.
So they would run a pick and roll, and it was like the other 3 guys that weren't involved in the 2 running the pick and roll were just like, well, I got my guy. It's like, no, you can also help out. You can get in there. And finally they did it. They highlighted an example of Kemba Walker kind of switching down, and he stripped Adebayo. You're like, well, in the third quarter, you guys were also allowed to do that. Like, Jaylen Brown would just fall asleep. He's like, well, I got my guy. It's like, no, you can slide over, and Daniel Tice was just getting abused that whole quarter.
617-779-7937 still to come. Kiefer Madness Week in Review at 12:30. Michael Irvin, the playmaker, at 1. Light a match to Fitzy's money at 1:30. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy Sports Radio WEEI.